And you know what? Wall Street Journal poll. Listen, I don't have black lives, of course, matter. And I spent 50 years of my life fighting for civil rights and for dignity. But if you don't want me to be here, that's okay.
No, sir, we want you to, you to be here and address that and all the other questions.
I don't want to out-screen people.
No. We're not going
to... Hey, everybody, and welcome back. We've got a lot to talk about today. This is a special episode of BernieCast, and we're going to be with you probably for the next hour here. And just continuing on with what we talked about earlier in the morning, covering Netroots, I've got Dave Conan here. Go ahead and say hello, Dave.
Hey, everybody. Yeah, that was pretty amazing what we just witnessed at Netroots, and great to join you here on BernieCast. We do have a lot to talk about, for sure.
Yeah. For anybody who's just tuning in, Dave, can you real quick walk us through what we heard there at Netroots here about 10 minutes ago?
Well, we heard a lot. We heard a lot of voices that were saying Black Lives Matter and Say Her Name, of course, referring to the black women that are being killed by police officers as well as black men. And they wanted the candidates to address this issue directly, you know, and have some concrete answers about their concerns. And it was quite a display of real, you know, I saw a tweet that said protests aren't supposed to be orderly. They held the room, so this is what democracy is supposed to look like. Now, that needs to translate into action. It needs to translate into voting and being a part of that political revolution. But I think a lot of voices are not being heard right now, especially in the mainstream media. And the candidates, quite frankly, aren't addressing it. I didn't get a response from either one of them, really, that certainly the room was not satisfied. And I didn't really find anything that even Senator Sanders, he didn't seem to want to address the issue directly either. I mean, I think his agenda is going to benefit and change some things, but I don't think he addressed what they wanted to hear.
Well, in his defense, he did have a pretty good line there when he said that, of course, Black Lives Matter. I've been advocating for this for the last 50 years. Mm-hmm. And so I was kind of torn on this because I absolutely believe that it's important to have discourse and that these events, these get-togethers, are a great place to do that. What concerned me is that the problem I had was you have these two men, Martin O'Malley and Bernie Sanders, who actually are on the right side of these issues, and they have spoken out about them in the past. And so my concern was, you know, here they are trying to share with you their plans for addressing these things, and they're getting interrupted, and it almost... It just was not well handled in my opinion. And my biggest problem, I think, was that we have here this awesome event that they can share their ideas about what they want to do, and a lot of time was just spent not even necessarily acknowledging the crowd by the moderator, really. I mean, other than just trying to have them be quiet, I would have almost rather had him directly acknowledge and have all questions kind of just go straight to questions from the crowd or have them pulled from the room, because the way that it came out was just kind of like this cobbled together thing with a lot of interruptions and of course, you know, Bernie's classic who's in charge here kind of question that really spoke to what was going on there. But I find it interesting because we are at a time when a lot of people aren't being heard, and that's obviously these people feel like they're not being heard. I did see some comments in the YouTube channel and on Twitter talking about plants. Do you think this was a plant job?
A plant from...
Like a Hillary campaign or a Republican campaign.
You think, you know, you don't think the Black Lives Matter folks are authentic? You think these are...
Well, I think they're authentic. I'm not saying I don't think they're authentic. I'm just saying we saw some comments in the YouTube and the Twitter feed saying that they were interrupting them on purpose.
No, I don't think that. I think that I think it's more telling that Hillary didn't bother to show up than that she sent somebody to disrupt. I think these two guys had the courage, you know, and quite frankly, you know, they're two old white guys that are you know, the new what they were going to come up against. Maybe, I don't know, maybe not. But at least they were there and they were on stage. And I think Martin O'Malley, I think he handled himself pretty well. You know, he certainly was very, he seemed to take it very well. Bernie maybe a little more acerbic, you know, that's sort of his character. But it's important they were there, I think, is what's really was really the most important thing, and that they were able to. And Bernie did have a couple of really good liners. But he's coming up against a challenge of name recognition. People don't know his record and his civil rights record. You know, when Hillary was a Goldwater girl, he was doing sit-ins to integrate his college dorm. So, you know, it's he marks with Martin Luther King. You know, I mean, he was there. He's been there. He's been fighting on the ground. Now, yeah, he's from a rural white state. They have issues too. They have a big heroin problem. They have a big drug problem and a criminal justice problem too. So he addressed those issues on his level as a mayor in Burlington. So yeah, I think he's got the cred, he's got the resume to back up what these guys are interested in. And really the big statistic, I think, is, you know, 53% youth black unemployment. You know, I mean, you say that's like third world unemployment. That's like Syria unemployment, you know, revolution unemployment. It is legitimate to talk about that and to try to get people college and an infrastructure plan for jobs. You know, those are issues, but it's hard to see past not coming. You're being afraid not to come home when your kid goes out, or when you go out and, you know, at night, or you're just driving down the street. So did they address white supremacy? No, they did not address white supremacy.
I guess my question is, how is Bernie supposed to address white supremacy, you know, at Netroots? Like, I understand what they're saying, but you have a guy here who has been on the right side of this issue. Maybe they don't know his record, you know, but it's like he's trying to make his case for how to address these things, and that's what frustrated me. Not that they were protest. I am frustrated, kind of, because it wasn't that they were protesting. It's that whenever he wanted to give them a response, they continued to interrupt him, and he's trying to get back to them and say, this is what I think about that, and they continued to interrupt him for a while there, to the point where he expressed, you know, frustration and wanted to leave. And so, you know, that to me seems like, okay, it's no longer just you protesting for your issue. Now you're not even wanting to further the conversation, you know, because this is a place where they do talk to the crowd and they do, you know, have some discourse going on there. But to spend all this time, you know, just yelling things from the audience, you know, to me that was a good thing that they're doing. It's a good. It's someone said it's good that they're talking about this issue, but it's just like with Obama, with the transgender advocate who is in the White House. You know, he's trying to speak and he keeps getting interrupted by the advocate, and eventually he's just like, come on now, you know, I'm trying to talk about your issue, I'm trying to talk to you, and I keep getting interrupted. And so I kind of wonder if you know, we just because I disagree, I personally disagree with how they were interrupting the speakers, doesn't mean I disagree with the issue that they're advocating. Of course, Black Lives Matter. But I want to hear uninterrupted what Bernie and what Martin O'Malley think about that issue. And so I did have a problem with that. I have to be completely honest there.
Well, you know, it's about having a dialogue, I think, is where you get things done. You know, just the Iran nuclear talks, you know, I mean, the Republicans don't want to talk, you know, they want to bomb. That's their answer. And as far as I'm concerned, as long as you're talking and you're having a dialogue, you're not going to war. So, you know, you got to have, at every level, you have to have that those that dialogue. And this is, I think that's what you're talking about. This is less of a dialogue and a conversation as it just, I need to express myself. And there's a place for that. That's where, you know, but this was more, I think you're right. This should have been a forum where there people are there to hear what they have to say, if they have answers to the problem, if they can address it, if they, and specific. And I think the moderator, Jose, I think is his first name. He was trying to be very, you know, we want specific answers to specific questions. And I think if they had, you're right, if they had let them address them, they would have gotten some answers and it would have been more of a effective conference.
Yeah, and when people act like, my worry is when people act like that, then it's going to be easy for the other side to frame this in a negative light and
Absolutely.
Say, hey, look, you know, here's Bernie getting upset when people want him to acknowledge, you know, the crisis in the black community and how the police are treating those communities. And so that's what it concerns me is how this will get spinned, you know, like, oh, he doesn't care. Look at him threaten to leave. When he does care, he's just frustrated at not being able to talk about what he thinks about that issue.
Absolutely.
But we actually have some people on the ground. I'm not sure. I haven't yet seen anything as far as like when we'll be able to pull them into this conversation.
Yeah, I really want to. I want to hear what they experienced when. Yes, when
absolutely.
Yeah.
I want to. I'm with you. I want to hear what they saw, what their experience was there on the ground, and maybe what the conversation is like there now at Netroots. So yeah. I'm really eager to see if we can pull one or two people in while we're streaming live here and talk to them about what's going on the ground over there, what they thought of O'Malley's and Sanders' talks, and then and maybe we can have a dialogue about that, and I think that might be really, really entertaining. So,
Or if you're there, or if you know somebody was there, you know, get in on the conversation here, hashtag BernieCast, hashtag NN15, and hashtag Bernie2016TV.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll get your conversation in here. And what did I hear? Did I hear Aniko is here? No? Oh, yeah. Hey, yeah. If you want to get on the air, let's go for it. Yeah, you know, that's what this is all about. We have that technology. Forget that. If you guys want to get in here and get in on the conversation and get on camera, you need a Google Plus account, but we can certainly do it. We can bring you into the conversation. Is there a specific email that they should like link to? I guess I'd go to Bernie2016TVs on Google Plus and get into that community.
There
that
you go.
Too, on the channel.
Yeah, comments on
so
YouTube.
So many ways. Yeah. The comments on YouTube is another way to join in. So get us video. If you've got video uploaded, if we've got anything coming in, we can certainly broadcast it. If you were able to catch any of the protest, we want to see it. We want to know what's going on. So we're looking for resources on the ground, citizen journalists, if you will. Aniko's out there.
Hit us up on Twitter at Bernie2016TV or at BernieCast, or you know, just make sure if you're on the ground, you know, get us, and you have video, you know, just get in contact with us. In the meantime, while we wait to see if anybody reaches out to us and if we can get somebody on, I'd like to talk about something that really pissed me off today. Is that
go
okay?
For it. Yes.
Not Netroots related.
That's okay.
You know, while we wait to see if we can get somebody in and talk about that, this is just burning a hole in my chest, and I need to get it out there. So, social media, it's fun. You are allowed to share your ideas with others. Others are able to comment on your ideas. And, you know, you can have all sorts of great discourse. However, I'm a little pissed at how liberals and progressives are not held to the same standard that their conservative and right-wing extremist counterparts are. Let me give you an example. Please. I shared a meme about Donald Trump and was eviscerated online for stooping to their level and being and not contributing to decent political discourse.
And I get what you're saying.
And it frustrated me because this meme, so I was taught and we talked about secular humanism earlier. Richard yes. Dawkins says, when someone introduces a ridiculous idea, you should ridicule it.
Yes, absolutely. I am a firm believer in that.
Donald Trump, to me, is a ridiculous idea.
Yes.
And so I shared a meme comparing Donald Trump to Boss Hogg. And I was eviscerated online for that. And that really
by
bothered
liberals,
me.
By progressives.
By a liberal. Conservative. By a liberal.
Yeah, and liberals. So, liberals are a touchy group.
My worry is that we lend when we don't treat ridiculous ideas or bigotry or racism like it is ridiculous, that we give it like essentially more room to grow. Right. You know, we don't root it out. And so I this is my message for everyone listening to BernieCast. To say, if when you come across something that the other side does that you think is ridiculous, express that. Don't worry about people telling you that, you know, that's not right. We have to have this equal political discourse, because they're not playing with their hands tied behind their back.
Right.
So I don't care. Like, you can say whatever you want about me. But I'm not playing that game. If you want to play that game, you know, just know that I'm not a part of that. I'm not going to hold back my ridicule of what I think is ridiculous or stupid, because we are the most powerful nation on the earth. We cannot allow ourselves to get bogged down with these ideas that don't move us forward, that don't make us live up to our name and our place in the world. And I'm tired of it. And today is just like the straw that broke the camel's back. I am no longer going to be nuanced and tiptoe around the Republican Party when they've got a clown car of 20-plus people running for president. None of them can even poll above 20% because nobody likes them. They're not a good set of people.
The one they do like basically is an expression of their inner hatred anyway, Donald
exactly.
Trump.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah.
Exactly. And I'm tired of the Republican Party not being a party of conservative fiscal policies and common sense stuff like they claim to be.
Yeah.
No. It's not that party. That's maybe what it was at one time. But if you say you're following it because, yeah, if you're saying that you're a part of the Republican Party because of that, they left that behind a long time ago.
Yeah. Bernie Sanders is the real conservative here. You know, I mean, there's nothing conservative about destroying regulations on the environment. You know, and having 19 kids. You know, for religious reasons, you know, I want to go there. There's nothing conservative about that. You know, there's nothing conservative about controlling a woman's body. You know, there's nothing conservative about everything, you know, most of their ideas. Those aren't, I mean, it's, if you really look at what conservative is, it's saving the environment. It's it's getting people universal health care because our system is completely cost laden, you know, and getting higher and higher. It's not getting people on private insurance, you know. But I think you're right. I think there's liberals. The liberals, we're, you know, we like everybody, you know. We're sort of the, oh, it's okay, you can be that way, and you can express yourself, and we're supposed to be, liberals are the nice guys, you know, the conservatives and the Republicans, they're the kind of the jerks, you know, and it's the bullies, right? You know, and so we're not supposed to be that. Liberals aren't supposed to be that. But that's, you know, that's part of what my show is going to be about. Feel the Burn TV coming up very soon. It's going to back to back with your show, hopefully on Saturday mornings, and that's going to be about liberals standing up for themselves again and taking back the flag and patriotism. You know, I'm not a big wrap myself in the flag person, but you know. That everything has been hijacked by the right wing, and that too has been, you know. And when they say, oh, you're, you know, liberals and progressives, they don't support the troops. No, we do support the troops because we don't want to get into wars
that don't pay for
them when they come back.
Why is it patriotic to bomb a country, but not patriotic to take care of the soldiers who fought, you know, in the wars? Why is it patriotic to kill people in other countries, kill brown people in other countries,
yeah. Oh, well, yeah,
and not patriotic to take care of everybody that we have here. It's just ridiculous to me. And that's my tangent. I should probably get off of that, but it's just frustrating that when we get upset and when we get and when we talk about the things with and we're passionate about it and we're being direct about it, which we shouldn't have to tiptoe around these things. It's common sense.
This is how they took over, because they just steamrolled over everybody. They're like, okay, you know, they're gonna make laws to help people. We're just gonna go the other direction. We're gonna create, you know, the Southern strategy. You know, they're just from that point on. You know, from Jim Crow on. From the Civil Rights era, which, you know, the Confederate flag or the battle flag. That's the whole issue now. You know, that went up during the Civil Rights era. It didn't have anything to do with being after the Civil War. It was because, you know, Johnson and we created all the civil rights legislation, and they had to put it up there because it's absolutely.
And we need to call that out for what it is.
Absolutely.
I got upset because they talk about, well, what about the soldiers who fought on the South, you know, for the Confederacy and lost their lives? They were brave and whatever. I want to address that right now. My great-great-grandfather had 7 children. Not great-great-grandfather, probably 3 greats or 4 greats, I don't know. He had 7 children at home, ranging from 11 to a newborn. He fought on the Union side in Missouri, which was a split state. So part of Missouri was for the Confederacy, part of Missouri was for the Union. And he died, he died on the right side of history.
Right.
He died not a traitor. He died for defending the rights of people who he may not have even known a black person. You know, he may not, and that's what it was about. That's don't kid yourself. The Civil War was about slavery. It was a giant industry, and in the lost productivity from that, you know, was a big driving factor of trying to keep it in place.
Absolutely. Well, you know, the slaves in the North weren't freed. The Emancipation Proclamation didn't free the slaves in the North. It only freed the slaves in the South. So, I'm pretty sure, but I could be wrong about that. History wasn't my biggest subject, but it was economic. It was economics, and it was, you know, the majority of, you know, the trade issues are all, that's the way they do it. They take over through these trade things, and 90% of the economy, 80% of the economy then was driven from the South. You know, that's where the slave trade fueled this country. We literally built this country on the backs of slaves.
Absolutely.
And so there's a lot of things to account for, you know, and I think that's actually something we really need, and I've been wanting it forever. I mean, South Africa had a Truth and Reconciliation Commission. You know, it ain't perfect in South Africa, but at least they, you know, said, yeah, we were wrong, and, you know, it needs to change. We haven't even thought about that. They just, you know, as soon as the Civil War was over, they just started rewriting history and try to legislate their way out of it. And, you know, at some point you just have to admit you have a problem, and then you can move forward. But if you're never going to admit there was a problem, that it was a bad thing, you lost the war, you were traitors, and slavery was evil, well...
Yeah.
You know, why should people get over it? Why should black people get over it?
Yeah.
If we're not going to say, yes, we were wrong. I mean, it took Clinton when did Clinton apologize for taking over Hawaii? Hawaii got apologized to before the African Americans did. You know, but that took years and years and years to happen, 100 years.
Let's set a ground rule in this country. And it should already be common sense at this point. Racism is wrong.
Yeah.
Being a bigot is wrong.
And it exists.
Yeah.
You know, the Supreme Court says it doesn't exist anymore.
But we need to acknowledge it and address it. We need to acknowledge it and make people the people who still practice these things that separate us and divide us and make us a weaker country, we need to call them out on it. You know, why is the media even talking to Donald Trump after he says that most of the people coming across the border are rapists and murderers? You know, that's silly.
That's why they talk to him. That's a headline.
Yeah, exactly. But it at that point, it should be like, you know what? Your message is one of racism. It's one of bigotry. and you're essentially saying that if you're a Latino, if you're Hispanic, you are a criminal. And that's what I hear from that message.
When it's completely the opposite. You know, the most trustworthy and law-abiding citizens are the illegal immigrants that come over here to work. You know, they're the best. They're the best drivers because they don't want to get pulled over. You know, I mean, seriously, they don't break laws. Yeah. It's a complete fallacy. It's a complete fallacy.
And, but what frustrates me is instead of giving him more airtime for that, we should be calling him out on it. And of course, they say that they do. They say, yeah, we have him on the show. We call him out. The problem is that you're not presenting it in a way that's true to what he said and that's true to what he is. But let's shift gears. You know, I've ranted and raved about this long enough. We've actually got a video that we kind of want to show about that addresses our conversation earlier about the Black Lives Matter, and and it's Bernie Sanders on racism in America. And so I'm very interested to go ahead and take a break here, show this video, and then we'll go from there.
The good news is that you are hearing more and more about that issue. The good news is you're hearing about Ferguson, you're hearing about Baltimore, you're hearing about New York City, you're hearing about elsewhere. The bad news is if you think that these issues have just occurred in the last year or two, you would be sorely mistaken. Mm. The truth is that for many, many decades, there have been situations where police officers have treated prisoners terribly and in some cases absolutely unjustly. Kill them. All right? What do we have to do? We have to do a number of things. For a start, and maybe most importantly, we have to recognize, and I'm a former mayor, and I work very closely with the police. They have a tough job. Anyone thinks being a cop is an easy job is mistaken. It is a tough job. You got to respect them. They need to be well paid. They need to be well trained. But, if a police officer does something wrong, and I think we saw that tape in South Carolina, right? And that police officer was indicted. Police officers, like anybody else, have got to be held accountable for their actions. Yes. If they break the law, they have got to be held accountable. The second issue, I am very concerned. When you see the TV in Ferguson and elsewhere, where these police departments look like they are part of an army, an invading army, with all types of very heavy-duty military equipment. When I was mayor of Burlington, we worked hard to do what we call community policing. What community policing is about is it has, in a sense, it makes police officers part of the community so that they know the names of the people in the community, so that people trust them, so they're out there maybe playing ball with the kids. And when there's a problem in the community, they can go to the police officer. And that's what I would like to see all over this country. So we need efforts to integrate, in a sense, police officers into our community to end this business about police officers being seen as oppressors. We need to help hold police officers accountable when they do illegal behavior, absolutely. And the other thing that we need to do, by the way, which is not talked about, is when you look at a town like Ferguson and everybody focused on police brutality, do you know what African-American youth unemployment in that town is? Somewhere around 50%. And we're going to continue to have problems in this country if millions of kids cannot get jobs, cannot be involved in constructive activity. So all of those things are related. But at the end of the day, we are spending tens and tens of billions of dollars. We have more people in jail than any other country. And we're spending huge amounts of money on that. I would much prefer to invest in police training, good training, to invest in education, to invest in jobs for our young people. That is the best way to cut that. Listen, this is a great turnout, and you've asked great questions. And let me just conclude by saying what I said at the beginning. The political revolution is not me. It is you. And let's go forward together and transform this country. Let's win New Hampshire. Thank you all very much.
Okay, you know, there he is. He's talking about, the audio's a little hard to hear there, but he's talking about the communities and the black communities, especially how they're treated, how the law enforcement treats them. And this is all goes back to what we're talking about. It's kind of interesting. It perfectly fits in with what we're talking about, which is something that we're going to have to start talking about more, not less. You know, we've obviously not gotten over the racism thing here in the U.S. It's an ever-present issue. And so I think it's going to come down to how we can address it moving forward. And I think Bernie is one of the candidates who is speaking out on this issue and speaking out in a positive way. He has a positive message for how to move forward. And I think that we should be, if anything, if people want to press him, maybe we could ask for clarification on the policies. It sounds like he wants to demilitarize police forces a little bit, which is a good, you know, step forward. Personally, just even as, you know, a white guy in a town of 80,000 people, you know, not a giant city, it's the police force here looks kind of militarized. They have all on their person that looks like it's just like they're ready to go into battle most of the time. And it's like, and when you get pulled over, you're like, oh my God, you know, I hope I don't do something wrong here and have them, you know, pull out one of those things on their belt and beat me with it. But I can only imagine when you're in a community where that happens. And so anyway, the point is that this is an issue and it was brought to the forefront by today's Netroots event, and it's not the last time we're going to talk about it. It's not the last time we're going to discuss it here on BernieCast. It's not the last time we're going to discuss it as a nation. And so we, moving forward, I think this is going to have to be a core part of our political revolution. This is going to have to be something that we don't let just be a passing thing in the news cycle. I mean, if we want to truly have a political revolution, we're going to have to address, you know, how police forces treat minorities, how the justice system is skewed towards the wealthy, how there's, you know, just all these economic problems that specifically affect certain segments of our population. And so I think that
youth unemployment.
Yeah, exactly. Youth unemployment, especially among the black community. I mean, like you said earlier, 53%.
That's one of the points he was trying to make, you know, that got shouted down was that, absolutely, you know, that's a statistic that you just got to go, wait a second. You know, I saw a tweet that says, well, that's not going to address police brutality and that aspect of it. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's true, because, you know, when your police forces are out of control and people, you know, they've done studies that good people are put into powerful situations where they have power over people. There's a film about it right now out, and about that, the college study, right? And when good people are put into powerful positions, they tend to get not so good. And there is a large percentage of white supremacists that go into police forces and military, and it's statistically true. So how are you going to deal with that? You know, we have video, I think, we're working on putting up, that there's a rally right now in South Carolina that they're covering between the KKK and Black Panthers. So I don't know, it might be over now, but, you know, this is something we need to address head on, and I don't think it's being done effectively. It's certainly not.
Yeah, and we can help drive that conversation. This network can help drive that conversation. This community, the people in our YouTube chat right now, the people chatting to us on Twitter, the people chatting to us on Google+, they can help drive this conversation, and we should be driving this conversation. We have a legitimate outlook on this. We have policy ideas that can help bridge these gaps and help put us more in line with what we should be doing. And I think out of all of the different ideas that are out there on the political spectrum, the progressives really should be leading in this area and should be getting together and organizing and making their case on this. And I think Bernie Sanders can do that. You know, he can be a vehicle of that change. But also, you know, we talked to Mendez earlier, Representative Mendez of Arizona, and he's a progressive. He's dead on, you know, when he talks about a lot of these things, and he's really in line with Bernie on that, and with progressives on that. And so I'm glad to see that there are these political leaders out there who we can talk to and show them that we care about this, and show them that we want them to address it. And so we do live in a good time in that we're able to acknowledge this problem. The downside of that is we have to make sure that everyone acknowledges that it is a problem.
Yeah, that's exactly true. And as long as there's denial and heritage, you know, about my heritage, well, what heritage was that exactly? You know, yeah. You have to be honest about what you're, you know, I have a friend who's both sides of her parents were Confederate generals, you know, she's never had an inclination to put up a flag. You know? So, yeah. You know, you have to acknowledge it. You have to acknowledge that. And Bernie does have plans. He's got an agenda. He has an actual, you know, it's, you know, none of these guys have answers. They have platitudes, you know. Hillary Clinton has platitudes. Where's the Republicans? They don't have, you know, they try to repeal Obamacare 1,000 times. They've got nothing. You know, hey, at least Donald Trump used to be interested in universal health care. I think that's why they think he's a plant. Because he was all for universal health care before and choice and, you know, so I get where they're coming from. But, you know, it's Bernie's got some real concrete answers that, I mean, like public education, public college free. Well, the first question is, well, how are you going to pay for that?
Right.
0.05% tax on derivative exchanges. Awesome. Nobody's going to miss it. We're going to raise $300 billion. There's a plan. You know, so we got to get through the minutiae, as they say, and try to get the message across, and that yes, these are serious issues, but ultimately, you know, Twitter created the Arab Spring, social media is going to create our own spring, but ultimately, beyond the actual revolution in the streets and the rallies and the protests, is you have to address it in a government together, you know, and with legislation. Right. You have to move things forward in that way and in a political revolution. And that's really the key, is getting money out of politics, taking it back from the corporations, and getting people, real people, back to work, you know, and shift that stream of wealth. Shift it back. Yeah. You know, enough's enough.
Yeah, I agree. And so, you know, we've got so much to cover today. I know that we're going all day, and so it's really going to be awesome to continue covering Netroots, and hopefully over the course of the rest of the day we can talk to some more people on the ground. We talked about maybe even talking to Representative Mendez again, or who knows who we'll find over there.
Yeah, well, we've got a couple lined up. We've got Dan O'Neill of the Progressive Democrats of America. He's going to join us later. And awesome. A young lady for Students for Bernie in Arizona.
Awesome.
And so, yeah, we definitely have some people line up. I would love to hear what Representative Mendez has to say about what he saw there. I have a couple of folks that were tweeting at while they were there, friends of ours, and we're trying to line them up, see if we can't get our on-the-ground reporter to talk to them. I really want to hear from her, see what she's got to say. So we're trying to get a hold of her. Maybe she's recording interviews, and maybe she's talking to Bernie. Who knows? Oh, she'd call us if she was doing that.
But, absolutely.
So this is great. I am not on. I don't have eyes on our Twitter feed here. What are people saying out there, Ryan? What's going on? What's the conversation happening?
Well, that's what I was curious about. I've got my producer Zach here in the room. Is there anything that stood out to you in the YouTube comments that we've been able to watch here? Anything that any conversations or any questions that we can address? If you do have a question or comment, and you're watching live right now, pop it in the comment section, you know, say hi to us at the very least. And if you have something you want to add, now's your time to speak to everybody who's tuned in. So while we wait and see if we can pick something out, and Zach, you let me know if you see something there. I want to go ahead and do some of our plugs, because it's important to know where you can find things throughout the course of your week here, you know, after Netroots. And so the first thing I wanted to plug is BernieCast.com now has articles being written for it. And the first one to be posted is awesome. It is an article about Elizabeth Warren and the path that we as a progressive movement can take in order to try and get her to endorse our favorite candidate, Bernie Sanders. And it's well written, and it's very awesome. It really touches on a lot of things about organizing and about being part of the political process and how to engage with the different groups that are associated with Elizabeth Warren. So if you're part of the Bernie Brigade and you want to be a part of that effort to get an endorsement from our favorite lady, Elizabeth Warren, who is fighting for the middle class, then pop on over to BernieCast.com, click on the blog, and you can read the latest articles from our writers that are over there. The writer this time was Alex Moskowitz, which is he's a new friend of mine. He's a good writer, and he has a lot of interesting things to say, and he's already got other articles waiting to be published. So just if you're hungry for more information after you get done watching this, head over there, read our article, and stay tuned for more awesome stuff there.
Well, yeah, this really is a grassroots media revolution as well as a political revolution. You know, the mainstream media has their news cycle. They all talk about the same stories with whatever their spin is, but it's the same information over and over again. And so we really are creating a revolution of information getting into the people with, you know, BernieCast.
Absolutely.
And Bernie 2016 TV. Anybody can do it. And there were, we had a plethora of writers that are jumping in as like, oh, I'll volunteer.
Yeah.
Graphics people are helping us. I mean, there's a lot of things that are going to be happening over the next few weeks here.
Our BernieCast team grew this week from 3 people to 9 people. I had enough volunteers that I could have continued to grow it, but I can't even keep up at this point. I've got to be like, okay, let me think about what to do with you. Right. Let's do this. And so we're going to be pushing out awesome content along with Bernie 2016 TV that's going to just continue to educate and also build on what we've already built here. I've had people, and I really need to like take a video camera around with me or take a recorder, a little sound recorder. I don't know what I'm going to have to do, but I've already had people telling me who I don't even know who have been like in person seeing me and been like, I've seen BernieCast. I like what you're saying.
Wow.
I thought that I was a Republican, or I was just an undecided independent. I listened to the show, and now I'm supporting Bernie and registered to vote for him in the primary. It's awesome what independent media can do. It's awesome what this effort can do, and minds it can change, and also the effect that it can have to know, when those people know, that they can be politically active and make a difference. And I think that's the biggest thing is we're waking up with this grassroots movement to the fact that some guy sitting here in my home office can talk
with a dry erase board.
Yeah, with a dry erase board behind me with Bernie hashtag, you know, Bernie little hashtag BernieCast, BernieTV. I can reach, you know, we last time I checked, we're
128 people at the moment.
We're 128 people on the stream watching live right now. We've got just this last week, I've already got 10,000 views for the current episode of BernieCast that I posted on Tuesday, awesome. I think. And every week that number grows. And so we're nearing 100,000 listens total to the podcast, to the audio podcast.
And we were featured on iTunes.
Well, you know, we're featured on iTunes. We're featured on Audioboom.
We say this because we want everyone to know that people are hungry for the real information. People are hungry for the
truth.
That's
right.
It's a radical idea that Bernie talks about, telling the truth. And when people start to hear the truth, they start to wake up, and they're hungry for it. They want it. It's obvious by the growth of this channel, of your podcast, and the people jumping in. I mean, for instance, California for Bernie reminded us that, you know, Bernie did say black people are dying in this country because we have a criminal justice system that's out of control. You know, Bernie
right.
gets it. Bernie understands.
Yeah. And the thing that I was getting to there, and you're right to pull me back into it. I get so excited talking about BernieCast. But the thing I was touching on is exactly what you said. It's that we're building something here, and people are hungry for truth. They're hungry for this, not this polished, smarmy, greasy, you know, news that you get from the mainstream sources. We talk to somebody on the ground at Netroots, not some person who wrote a book about, you know, somebody in the Beltway who wrote a book about something and they're plugging it on CNN by showing right. up. You know, they don't have anything to do with anything. They're just another pundit who's being interviewed by pundits, you know, on a network that's just run by pundits. We're real people interviewing real people. And cool. that's what's important with Bernie 2016 TV. That's what's important with BernieCast. That's what we're doing, and that's why you said it exactly right. We have a media revolution happening alongside our political revolution, and it's all one and the same. And the last plug I'll make on that is, if you want to contribute, then you need to contact us on Twitter, on Google+. We have an excellent community on Google+, Bernie 2016 TV community. Reach out to us, and you can be a part of the political revolution. You can be a part of the media revolution.
Absolutely. That's really what we're getting at, is that we do want to hear from you. We're, you know, juggling. We're all volunteers, so we're trying to get this network to a point to where that we have, you know, somebody that's always there, ready to jump in with what's going on social media. We're getting videos from this person. We're uploading breaking news from somebody's phone. You know, that's where we're trying. That's what we're trying to organize and create as this network, and involving multimedia with podcasts and creative types like Ryan and that want to make their own show and get their voice out there. We've got a whole bunch of people that are interested in doing more live programming, and ultimately, that's what this channel is going to be. It's going to be a continuous stream on the channel of information that all you got to do is just click it, and you'll know you're going to find some good information on there. You're going to find the truth. You're going to find stuff that they're not talking about on the mainstream media.
Absolutely.
And it's going to be all coming from the grassroots, organic citizens. And, you know, we'll talk to some journalists, too. I'm talking to you, John Nichols, and Katrina Van Hoover.
You know, and AJ Goodman.
You're welcome on.
We have
What's
to
that?
Get him on.
Amy Goodman. Oh, yeah, Amy Goodman, well, of course. You know, that was the radio days, baby. You know, I remember when she went to satellite TV, you know, that was a big deal. So, absolutely. You know, and we'll get on their radar, you know, because this is what they're about, too, you know, Pacifica Radio, and they've been doing it forever, you know. So,
yeah.
and they're under attack, you know. I mean, even corporate PBS is under attack, you know. And they're, what is that, the Pentagon Broadcasting System. So it's very important. It's crucial that we're here, not to blow our own horn, because we're not. We're just trying to, everyone here is trying to create a venue, a space, a digital place where people can express their views and share information, you know.
Yeah. Absolutely.
There's a Twitter storm going on right now, guys, for NN. 15 and Bernie 2016 TV and Feel the Burn. Get on those Twitter storms. This is how we get on the mainstream media's radar, you know, and bizarrely, you know. They're like, oh, this is what the people are talking about.
What have we got going on in the YouTube comments? Before we move on to our other events for today, I'd like to see what we have going on in the YouTube comments. I know Zach pointed out something, so let's see what he's got here.
There's one comment that kind of went along a little bit with what you were saying earlier, and it was someone said that one of our challenges is to prove that we are regular people and that we're not extremists and we have the same interests and values as most Americans. And it kind of ties into what you were saying earlier about how we're talking about the truth, and I feel like the word truth even has been hijacked by the right wing because I talked to some people that I know that are more conservative in their views, and they say, this is the truth, and this is the truth, and a lot of it's just speculation or fear-mongering, and the fact is, when we say truth, we're talking about things that are backed up by facts, and then we get labeled as extremists when we're really just talking about facts and actual statistics and things that we can...
And that's what John Stewart said, when he talked about Bernie a while back. He said, here's a guy who is just... practicing straight talk, and he's labeled as an extremist, And it's just because he's actually talking about things that other politicians won't touch.
Mm-hmm. They'd rather talk about gay marriage and abortion and guns and, stuff that are your social issues. But really, when it comes right down to it, it doesn't affect that they, abortion rights have been under attack, and they continue to be, of course. But ultimately, what really comes down to what we need to talk about are the extreme issues: jobs, crumbling infrastructure, factory closings, police brutality, the drug war, stuff that's not. And I don't want to seem glib that abortion is not an issue that affects women every day. And when you can't, have to drive 500 miles to find an abortion, of course it's under attack and it's a huge issue. But, no one's coming to take your guns. Obama's been in office for 6 years. He hasn't even gotten close to it, and gun sales are up. It's a chimera, it's a look over here, it's
trying to... It's a distraction.
Thank you, it's a distraction. The Romans did it. They created the games. Now we've got now we've got NFL and an American title.
And distractions also can be other things. I think we've got maybe another YouTube comment. Is that what I'm seeing over here, Zach? No. Okay. So if you do have a comment, go ahead and drop it into the feed. If you're watching this live, go ahead and let us know what you think. I don't know how much time we have, I'd also like to plug what else is happening today. What else is happening throughout the course of the rest of the day? Do you have a feel on that, Dave? Do you have any of the stuff pulled up to where you can let us know?
I do have an idea. We're hoping to hear back from our intrepid reporter on the ground, we're hoping to hear from back soon, Aniko. But we do have a lot of other things. So we will be broadcasting the rally from the Phoenix Convention Center. I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. That's going to be basically a room full of Bernie supporters.
Starts at 7? Does that start?
Pull me out there. When is that supposed to start? 7 p.m. it looks like, right?
Is that what time zone?
I believe that's Pacific. Okay. Does anybody in the control room help me out on that?
Yeah, I really want to make sure that we can, since we've got so many people tuned into our feed, that they can share with their friends and also know for themselves what's going on today, because today is a really fun day. It's a good opportunity for us to, test our capabilities.
This is a huge experiment. Coverage. Yes, this is a huge experiment.
And, it's doing great. The thing is, this is an experiment. You're exactly right. And not we aren't just part of the experiment, but everybody who is in the chat, following us, watching us live, you're part of the experiment too. And maybe we just might change the world. But the 7 p.m. is the formal start time I'm seeing here for the rally Pacific.
Right. And we do have some stuff before that. Actually, we do have a couple of interviews set up. We'll be doing a little, pre-show prior to the convention center event, and that's the first interview is going to be with Dan O'Neill. He's with the Progressive Democrats of America in Arizona, and that is sometime around the 5:30 to 6 o'clock hour. And then we're going to have an interview with Belen Sisa, and she's a Latino student with Arizona Students for Bernie. So those are two interviews we definitely have lined up for prior to the convention that's going to be happening later on this afternoon. We might take a little break. Give us a little break to have some food and regather our thoughts here in a little bit. But we'll be playing some stuff on the channel, I think, or at least there's plenty of videos you can find on our channel to watch on YouTube, and you can watch the rebroadcast if you missed it this morning. But we'll probably take a break around pretty soon here, and then we'll be back on the air around 5 o'clock.
If you're part of a group that is pro-Bernie, if you're part of a, I know there are a bunch of them. We have a really active one here in Lawrence that is going to have a meeting on Tuesday. But if you're part of a group that is supporting Bernie, why don't you guys go ahead, you go get some chips, get some dip, get some beverages, invite
good
people
plan
over to your house this evening, have a watch party, tune that into the stream. Have a watch party with
your friends. That's a great idea. That sounds like a Twitter storm right now, man. Set up a watch party right now.
Set up the watch party. 20, Hashtag Bernie watch party. I don't know.
6 p.m. my house,
And yeah, exactly.
Well, not my house, your house.
6:30 is the pre-show on this channel. So if you're tuned in, you get your friends, you come back, you watch us at 6:30. We'll have the pre-show. We'll go ahead and stream the Bernie's rally, and hopefully we have more than one camera, so you don't just get whatever the legit feed is. Maybe you get some other angles. Just all depends on who's on the ground. If you're going to the event, you're part of this 99% movement. You're part of the grassroots movement. You take out your phone and you let us know. You tweet at us or hit us up on Google and let us know that you want to send your stream to Bernie 2016 TV, and we'll try to pull you in and see it from your angle, the citizen, the normal person watching Bernie give his speech at the rally. But also, if you're actually a part of Bernie's campaign, why don't you come on? Why don't you talk to us?
Absolutely.
I'm more than happy to sit down here this afternoon and talk
more
to somebody from Bernie's campaign.
And that's true. We keep on the Twitter. Follow us on Twitter. Feel the Burn TV, Bernie 2016 TV, Bernie Cast. If we have special, if we get an interview with Bernie and he says, "Hey, I've got a half an hour before the convention center," well, we're going to bring it to you live. So make sure you're following us on Twitter.
And
on Facebook.
Because
if we get him, we're going live.
It almost happened. I was going to. And if you want the time zone, I'm pretty sure that all the times we've been giving have been Pacific time.
Right.
I'm hearing Arizona and Pacific are the same time right now. So anything you see as far as stuff from Bernie's campaign that's specifically talking about a time over there in Arizona, it's going to be the same as Pacific time. If you're really confused about time zones, jump onto Google, jump onto DuckDuckGo, and put in what time is it in this time zone.
Is it Pacific Standard? Is it Pacific? I don't know. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Yeah.
and you are our newsroom. You are our AP, our breaking news. I mean, we don't have a staff. We're all volunteers. So if you hear of something and you haven't seen it come up on our, don't hesitate. Let us know what's going on.
Exactly.
We want to break your news.
Are you a reporter? Do you want to be?
Well, of course. Hey, 140 character headline, baby. That's all you need, and a link.
Yep.
And you're a reporter in this day and age, and we want to bring it to you, and that's what we're trying to do. So it's a lot of fun. I had a great time this morning, and I look forward to being back on tonight and talking to some new folks and finding out. How the town hall people, how people there felt, what their reaction was and their opinion about what happened.
Okay, so we're coming up here on 3 o'clock my time, 5 o'clock east. I don't know. Time zones are bad. I'm bad with time zones, obviously. This morning I got up way too early.
It's 1 p.m. Pacific, Ryan.
Okay, 1 p.m. Pacific. All right, we're coming up on 1 p.m. Pacific. I don't know. I think that if you have the schedule pulled up and you want to let us know what we're doing next.
I'm gonna say stay on Twitter in case we get something breaking. But join us back here at 6, no, wait, hold on, 5:30 Pacific on Burning 2016 TV YouTube, and we're hopefully going to have our interview with Dan O'Neill. We're going to start off with that, and then we're going to keep live until we see Bernie.
Okay,
and
cool.
And then we'll wrap it up afterwards.
So the story I was going to tell a moment ago, and it won't be long, is you need to follow us on Twitter because I reached out to Bernie's campaign on Sunday night to talk about La Raza that happened in Kansas City, my backyard. Mm-hmm. And they were like, there's a chance he might be able to sit down and talk with you. We'll see what we can do. Ultimately, that fell through. But the point is that if you're following us on Twitter, if you're following us on Google+, you'll be able to get the news in the event that something crazy does happen and we're able to sit down with Bernie himself or somebody else related to the campaign or just somebody that, you know, maybe Killer Mike or somebody else who's you know, just last second wants to talk to us. So definitely, like you were talking about earlier, if you're not already following us on Twitter, you can follow at Bernie2016TV, at BerniePodcast, and at FeelTheBurnTV.
That's right.
And you can get updates on that stuff as it's breaking.
And just to, you know, we haven't, you know, nothing is you know, in stone yet, but there's a lot of chatter going on beneath the surface here, not only in the campaign, which is doing amazing stuff, but just on our network level. We are making some waves, and people are taking notice. So, you know, we hope to be more involved, and we offer ourselves to be more involved with the campaign. I mean, we're fair, but we are biased. We do want Bernie in. So we're hopeful that they are seeing what we're trying to create here and that they're going to be more involved. So I would definitely follow us because there may be some very exciting things happening very soon. It's all moving very quickly, and we're trying to... one of our intrepid staff said it's like trying to learn to fly a plane while we're in the air. So here we are, and it's going. So far, it's going pretty good. We haven't crashed, and we seem to be gaining altitude. So we're very excited. Very excited about being a part of this movement.
Yeah, and I'm really interested to see. Recently, one of the guys we brought on to Bernie Cast team is a guy who has a background in public relations, and he's awesome. His name is Kyle. He's helping me manage our social media accounts and also just helping reach out to potential people to interview. But I just wanted to talk briefly about how if you are maybe someone who does have something to say to our audience, you know, reach out to us. I know we've said this a bunch, but I'm talking specifically now to maybe somebody in our audience is like we talked about, part of another existing media, you know, organization. Like if we have someone from, you know, HuffPost, if we have someone from the Young Turks, and you wanna talk to us, you know, I'll sit down with you at the very least. I'll talk to you. But I'm sure any of our hosts would talk to you, and you can be a part of this. You know, you can be a part of our grassroots media effort. And so I think unless we have any comments or anything, I think I've exhausted every single thing I wanted to discuss right now.
Well, I could use a break, and I think we're patching together our team here. We're very decentralized. You know, you're in Kansas, I'm in California. Our control room is in Portland. You know, we're very decentralized. We're all over the place, and we're all volunteer. And we were, you know, to ask folks to hang with us, you know, for 10, 12 hours on a Saturday. You know, people got families, they got things to do, but you know, I think we've actually done a heroic effort here this morning. We've done a good job. We can pat ourselves on the back a little bit. It's very energizing to be a part of something, and I think this is something. You know, it feels like something. You know, not only this network and this media movement, but the what we're trying to be behind and move forward the agenda and Bernie's ideas. So there's something definitely happening. There's something happening here, as the old song goes. And it's not clear, but Glad to be here.
All right. So before we close up, let's tell them where they can find us. You can find me at Ryan Lee Sipes on Twitter. That's the best way to interact with me. Then there's, of course, at Bernie Podcast on Twitter and Bernie Podcast on Facebook. If you want to help support Bernie Podcast specifically, we're looking at, fortunately, we might have an opportunity to move into a real set. We're not sure at this point, but if you want to support us, you can get yourself a free audiobook and support us at the same time through Audible. You can go to audibletrial.com/BernieCast and get yourself a free audiobook. Earlier, we saw from Mendez, he recommended a book about the drug war and about the end of the drug war. And I think I have that pulled up somewhere here. Let me see if I can go ahead and plug that again for Mendez, for Representative Mendez of Arizona.
Is that his book? Did he write it?
I don't know if he wrote it, but he did say some good things about it. So let's see if I can find it, and if somebody else knows what it is, they might be able to help me. But in the meantime, while I look for that, and while maybe Zach helps me look for that, the other thing that I wanted to say is, if you want, you know, while we were broadcasting today, we were having some audio issues, so we went over to Best Buy and bought some equipment. And it wasn't expensive, but, you know, when we're volunteer like this, every little bit helps. And so if you want to help us get stuff, specifically BernieCast, but hopefully we can, you know, if you support us, we can help support the Bernie 2016 TV network. But you can head over to BernieCast.com and become a patron over at Patreon by hitting the donate link. And that just helps us get things like the cables we had to buy today. So if you have a little bit to spare and you're not, and we don't want you to ever put yourself in a situation where you can't pay for things you need to, but if you do have a little bit to spare, you know, give to Bernie's campaign and then also consider giving to us and supporting us and creating this type of media. I think other than that, I just would say, you know, stay tuned, follow us on social media, and we'll keep you up to date with what we're up to. Dave, will you want to go ahead and plug your show and where they can find you online?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm developing a show called Feel the Burn TV. It's going to be on this network. It's still coming together, and we of course wanted to be here for this special event. So it's going to be coming up in the coming weeks here on Saturday morning. And really it's going to be about liberal values and liberal patriotism, and we're going to, you know, and about you, of course, and about talking to the people, and it should be a lot of fun, and so stay tuned. I'm at Feel the Burn TV on Facebook, at Feel the Burn TV on Twitter, and Google Plus. Get into Google Plus, send me an email at feeltheburntv@gmail.com, and if you want to get on the air, if you want to be on the air with our shows, You need to be in Google Plus so we can do a hangout with you and we can broadcast you live. It's really pretty simple. Just need a little bit of training and an email to send it to, and of course a video camera, a webcam. But that's part of what we want to do. You know, we don't want to look at our ugly mugs all day long. We want to get some more people in here. So I'm really excited to be a part of this. It was a big part of my my time as running a TV station on Maui. It was an access station. I really enjoyed getting the people's voice out, or trying to get the people's voice out. So it's really exciting to be a part of this grassroots conglomeration of creatives and technical people that are passionate about getting a message to the people and hearing from the people and getting their voice out. So
yeah,
I'm going to take a break and come on back for the pre-show at 6:30, I think it is. But check back. You know, follow us on Twitter, and we'll let you know when we're back on the air.
And one thing I'd like to just finish up before we jump off is the book I was talking about is Chasing the Scream.
That's it.
Yeah, it talks about the drug war and how it's failed and what we can do now. That was Representative Mendez's recommendation. You can get it for free on audible.com by going to audibletrial.com/BernieCast. And so we'll hopefully see you back later. Remember to reach out to your friends, maybe have a watch party, and we're all excited to hear what Bernie has to say at his rally tonight.
All right, thanks, Ryan. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you. See everybody later. Bye.
peace-loving Bernie Sanders.
Exactly.